Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Remember, we're talking about the subject of discipline of the disorderly, and Paul has given a command in this section. By way of review, we'll look at the command in verse 6 of chapter 3 when he says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life, and not according to the tradition which you received from us." So the command, the word command itself, we looked at last week, the Greek word behind that, and that word is a word that implies a legitimate authority. So Paul is giving this command as an apostle. The apostle Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, he's giving them this command. Now, what else we can say from that is that this command is, since it was given by a legitimate authority, the apostle Paul, that it applies to us as well as to the Thessalonians. So we can study this, and you don't have to say, well, gosh, how does that apply to me? Can't you make this relevant for me? It is relevant for us because Paul was an apostle. He gave this command, and he gave it by virtue of his authority. Now, the command is very simple. In verse 6, it says, "Keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life." And we looked at that too last week and noticed that it's not so much a formal shunning process as just a command to not hang around with. Now, these guys were the people down in Thessalonica who refused to work. And Paul's going to say, don't hang around with them. Well, why not? So they can get a job and buy their own food, basically, is what we'll get to this morning when we come to that. So don't hang around with them. And their error was this. In verse 6, it says, "Keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life." Now, literally, that phrase, "leads an unruly life," would be translated "walking around disorderly." Now, our translators have done a good job at leading an unruly life, because the word "walking around," or peripateo in Greek, is a word that Paul uses for a lifestyle. It's not just an isolated incident he's talking about here. It's a whole way of life. Their way of life was disorderly. Now, what does that mean, disorderly? Well, it's defined for us down in the context in verse 11. It says, "For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life." It defines it by saying, "doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies." So they weren't working, and they were acting like busybodies. They were refusing to work. It wasn't that they couldn't work, they were refusing. Verse 10, for example, says, "For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either." So it's a question of someone not being willing to work, not someone not being able to work. And in verse 6, he calls this leading an unruly life, and not according to the tradition which you receive from us. And that is, not according to the teaching of Paul. And remember, Paul was an apostle. He was a legitimate authority. So in verse 7 through 10, Paul goes on to give support for this command. Now, how can he command these things? And the first support he gives is an example. And the example is of himself. In verse 7 through 9, we looked at this last week. Verse 7 says, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with labor and hardship, we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the right to do this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, so that you would follow our example." So the Thessalonians are to use Paul as an example. When Paul was down in Thessalonica, he had every right to expect to be compensated for his work in the church there. He was an apostle, and yet he didn't do that. He worked so that he would not be a burden to the Thessalonians. Well, what's the implication there? The implication then is that the ones who weren't working are a burden to the Thessalonians. So he's saying these guys who are refusing to work and they're going around getting fed from other church members are actually a burden. Now that's where we left off last week. So we'll pick up now with verse 10. First, Paul gives an example to support his command, and now he's going to give his teaching to support the command, and he's going to remind them of something that he taught them before. And that's verse 10, where he says, "For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either." So, very simple program of welfare, no work, no eat. Now, again, keep in mind, this is someone who refuses to work, not someone who can't work. Now, this is the second reason that he's giving for the command in verse 6, and you can see that because in verse 10, it begins with the word "for." And we've had two of these now, one in verse 7, one in verse 10, and we'll see another one in verse 11. It says, "For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life." So, the second reason. The reason here is that he has told them before. He said, "I told you guys before to get a job," basically. Paul is reminding the Thessalonians of doctrine that he taught them before. And in fact, when he says in verse 10, "For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order," that "we used to give you this order" is what's called an imperfect tense in the original, in the Greek. And what that means, imperfect tense refers to an action that's continuous in past time. Or it's an ongoing action in past time. So what Paul is saying is, during his stay with the Thessalonians, he kept telling them this. If you guys don't work, then you're not to be fed by the rest of the congregation. So the Thessalonians had this problem while Paul was with them. And they still have it now. So it's not the first time this issue has been brought up. And we need to see that because in light of the command in verse 6, that's not the first step. Because there have been several things that have transpired in the meantime, and they're still not working. So the problem addressed is in verse 10. It says, "If anyone is not willing to work." That's the problem he's addressing in this chapter. And the implication is that there were those in Thessalonica who would not work. Now, if you have an older New American Standard Bible, I think it's translated "will not work." And King James has "if any would not work." And the idea is that it's a matter of their volition. They choose not to work. So our translation in the New American Standard that I use, "if anyone is not willing to work," is a very good translation. It's an excellent translation. "Willing" or "will" in the older translation is the word "thelo" in Greek. "Thelo." "Thelo" means to want or desire. It involves the idea of intentions or desires. It's a decision. So a mental attitude is what's in view here. They have no desire or intention to work. So this section is not talking about victims of circumstance. This section isn't talking about, well, somebody's job got outsourced overseas and they're out of a job now. Well, we can't feed them because they're not working. That's not what this section is talking about. This section is talking about the person who says, and you'll remember, and we'll see next hour as we go over our review of 2 Thessalonians, you'll remember they were being taught that they were in the tribulation period. So they just kind of threw up their hands and said, "Oh, I'm in the tribulation. Why on earth should I work? There's no point in it." And Paul corrected that teaching in chapter 2, and now he's going on to correct their attitudes. He's saying, "Look, you guys, you need to be working." The solution? Quite simple, the end of verse 10. He is not to eat either. Now, don't get this wrong. You can, oh boy, that Bible, it's so harsh. Paul is telling these people to starve. No, he's not telling them to starve. He's telling them to work. You know, look at the other side of it. He's not telling these people that they have to starve. He's telling them that they have to work. So he's addressing here Christian disobedience. He's not addressing Christian charity. And we need to keep that in mind. He's addressing disobedient Christians. They refuse to work. Now, verse 11, the reason for the command. Why did he give this command? Verse 11 says, "For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies." And this is, again, it begins with the word "for." It goes back to verse 6. Why did he give that command? What's the reason? "For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life." Now, leading an undisciplined life here in verse 11 is exactly the same phrase as leads an unruly life back in verse 6. Now, I don't know why the translators chose to use different words, because they're exactly the same phrase. But this introduces the situation which brought up this whole topic in the first place. Why is he talking about this? Well, because some of the guys down in Thessalonica refused to work. And again, more literal translation, walking around disorderly. So undisciplined, disorderly, or unruly, whichever word you choose from the translations, all translate the Greek word ataktos. Ataktos means out of step. Out of step. It's outside the given order. It was a word that was used of soldiers when they were marching. If they got out of step, they were said to be ataktos. They were out of step. What's the given order that Paul is talking about here? Well, the given order is that they should be out working so they can buy food. And they were outside of that. They're the ones who said, "I'm in the tribulation. Why should I work? I refuse to work." And then when they run out of money, they come knocking on the other Christian's door and say, "Can I come over for supper? I don't have a job." Well, you quit your job. You know, go get another one. That's to be the response. Their description is doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. In the last part of verse 11. Now, this one's going to be kind of tough because it has some Greek words involved, and there's a word play in the Greek, and we miss it completely in English, and I'll try to struggle through this. You know how I am on Greek pronunciation, but I'll try to get the idea of the word play here. A more literal translation would be not working, but working around, and I'll tell you why I say that in a minute. First, not working. What the Thessalonians were not doing is the word ergazomai. Ergazomai in Greek. It means activity in contrast to idleness. It also means useful activity in contrast to useless activity. Now, these guys weren't necessarily lazy. But what they were doing was useless activity rather than useful activity. This word was used in a variety of settings in the Greek language. It's not particularly limited to the Bible. It was used in agriculture, trades, shipping, fishing, just all kinds of things that if you were doing a work, ergazomai, is also applied to the arts. We still do that today, don't we? We say, "Oh, that's his greatest work." And we apply that word to artistic endeavors. And they did as well. So the word is pretty broad. That's what they were not doing. What they were doing was acting like busybodies or working around, because that's the word periergazomai. So we've got ergazomai, what they were not doing, and periergazomai, what they were doing. You see the word play? Paul uses the same word. He says, "You're not ergazomai, you're periergazomai." And we'll look at that in its context in a minute. According to Bullinger, Bullinger has a book of figures of speech used in the Bible, and he calls this word periergazomai to overdo anything. It means busy. These guys weren't lazy. They weren't just laying around. They were busy, but they were busy doing useless things. So what would we say? What would we say about somebody like that? I would probably say, quit your dinking around. That would be a phrase I would use. Piddling around, fooling around. Well, that one maybe not. But you get the idea. It's a word that means you're busy, but you're busy doing silly little things. So the idea here is that one of these leads to the other. If you're not working, then you're going to be out dinking around because you have too much time on your hands, is the idea. Now again, the wordplay in the Greek, and I transliterated this so we can follow along. In the sentence, the words read like this. Doing no work at all is the phrase meiden ergazomenus. Meiden ergazomenus. Acting like busybodies is peri ergazomenus. So you see the wordplay? Maybe it doesn't ring with you because it's in Greek, but that's a wordplay in Greek. Meiden ergazomenus, peri ergazomenus. He uses the same word, and Paul is a very good writer. He does this wordplay, and it completely disappears in our English translation because it says doing no work at all but acting like busybodies. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad translation. It's a good translation. It just misses the wordplay in Greek. If I were translating this, I might translate it something like this. Not busy, but busybodies. So to get the idea of using the same word. Or doing nothing, yet overdoing. Or not doing your own business, but doing everybody else's business. And that's where they get busybodies. You see the idea? These guys weren't necessarily lazy. They just didn't want to work. They refused to work. Now, in verse 12, Paul gives these guys some instructions. Verse 12, he says, now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in a quiet fashion and eat their own bread. Now the command here to the unruly, and this is the command to the unruly, is not quite as harsh as the command in verse 6. And I'll tell you why first, because Paul uses a very indirect method of address. He doesn't talk to he says, now such persons, you see how that kind of goes around the corner to get these guys? He says, now such persons we command. He's being diplomatic here. He also softens the command by saying, exhort. He says in verse 12, now such persons we command and exhort. And he didn't say exhort in verse 6. It was a straight command. So he's softening this down to the unruly group. He uses the phrase, in the Lord Jesus Christ, instead of in the name of. That's more official, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see how he's softening this up a little for the group that is being disorderly, for the idle group. Now, it's still a command. It's still given by a legitimate authority because the word command is the same, parangelo. Parangelo always used in the context of a legitimate authority. Paul has a right to give this command. Why? He's an apostle. So he has the right to give this command. Now the command is simply this, work in a quiet fashion and eat their own bread. So kind of saying, okay, you guys, calm down, go back to work. You're not in the tribulation. He's pointed that out in chapter 2. And he says, get back to work. And the word work here in verse 12 is ergazomai again, the same word in verse 11 that talked about what they weren't doing. And he says, in a quiet fashion. In a quiet fashion is the Greek word heisoukia. Heisoukia means without fanfare, without disturbance. In other words, don't make a big deal out of this. Just go back to work. Now look back at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians 4, he told these guys before, this isn't new information for them. In verse 10, the very last part of verse 10, it says, but we urge you, brethren, to excel still more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your hands just as we commanded you. So the words in verse 11 of 1 Thessalonians 4, to lead a quiet life, is the infinitive form of the word we just looked at in 2 Thessalonians. So it's the same word. He's telling them the same thing over again. Now back to 2 Thessalonians, or stay here for just a second. One thing I want to point out about this word is leading a quiet life does not mean to not work. You know, when I think of a quiet life as me laying on a hammock, sipping a Coke, that's a quiet life. That'd be great. But that's not what Paul is talking about. And he can't mean don't work, because he goes on to command them in verse 11. He said, lead a quiet life and work. So it can't mean don't work. Back to 2 Thessalonians now. What he's talking about is to work with an inner attitude of peace. No fanfare, no frenzy, no hurry, just work. You know, keep at it is the idea. Now he gives some directions to the others in verse 13 through 15. In verse 13 we have a sharp contrast. He says, but as for you, brethren, now, these are not the unruly ones he's talking about here, they're the other ones. The but as for you is emphatic. So he's talking about the other group now. They're to keep a balance. Verse 13, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. Apparently, when we get to 2 Thessalonians 3, and Paul had told these guys to work when he was there, he wrote in 1 Thessalonians for them to work, and now he's repeated that command in 2 Thessalonians. Apparently, they were still supporting these guys that refused to work. Now, if I was one of the ones who was supporting these guys and they wouldn't work and wouldn't work and wouldn't work, I'd kind of get to feeling put out after a while. And Paul is saying here, don't get to that point. Keep a balance. Even if you feel taken in by these guys, just because you were taken in doesn't mean you should withhold charity from genuine deserving people. So keep that balance. And that's why he says in verse 13, but as for you, the rest of you, don't grow weary of doing good. Verse 14, he tells them to keep aloof. So keep a balance in verse 13 and keep aloof in verse 14, where he says, if anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with him so that he will be put to shame. Now, Paul recognizes here that there's going to be some down there in Thessalonica that will not obey his command. He's a realist. He knows there are some that, you know, they've refused to work for a while. Hey, it feels pretty good not to have to get up in the morning and go to work. I just don't think I'll do that anymore. So there's going to be some who won't obey. And just as a matter of grammar, in verse 14 it says, if anyone does not obey, does not obey translate a present tense verb in Greek. Now in Greek, the present tense means that it's ongoing, it's continuous or habitual action. So if anyone doesn't keep on obeying his command, so he says, you know, if these guys get motivated and go out and do some day work for a week and then they're back unemployed again and won't work anymore, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about people who don't keep on obeying. So the Thessalonians, what are they to do with these guys? Well, it says in verse 14, take special note of that person. Take special note. It's a word that implies it's not just a passing notice. It's serious attention is required to this. Now, Paul doesn't say how we're supposed to mark those people off. He doesn't say, you know, make them wear red jackets or something so you'll know not to feed them. But he says, take note of these people. If there's somebody that absolutely refuses to work and he keeps on refusing to work, then you take note of that person and don't give him a free meal, because he needs to be out working for his own meals. He says, do not associate with them. Do not associate with is the Greek word pseudonymigmi. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Pseudonymigmi. It means to mix together with. Mix together. So the ones who are not obeying Paul's commands are to be avoided socially. Now the word can't mean we're to shun them altogether. It can't. Why? Well, look at verse 15. It says, yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Well, how can you do that if you're shunning him, if you're not associating with him at all? So verse 15 says we're supposed to teach these people. Now notice the progression here. And this is, you know, we can get into the mindset, well, somebody lost his job, I have to quit associating with him right away. There's a progression here in the Thessalonian church. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3:10. He started out while he was still down in Thessalonica. Paul started out giving this command. In verse 10, he says, for even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. So it started clear back when Paul was there. There was this group of people who refused to work. In his first letter, 1 Thessalonians 4, we just looked at it a minute ago, in verse 11, he told them again, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your hands, just as we commanded you. And again, there he implies he told them before. So he told them when he was down there. He wrote in his first letter, and now in his second letter in chapter 3, and verse 12, he says again, now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in a quiet fashion and eat their own bread. So there's a progression involved here. After all of this, Paul finally gives the command for separation in verse 14. He says, if anyone does not obey or does not keep on obeying now our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with them. So there's a progression involved. It's not a what we might call a knee-jerk reaction. There's a very, quite a lengthy progression, in fact, here. Now, the purpose of not associating with this person is so that he will be put to shame. Put to shame. Last part of verse 14, it says, do not associate with him so that he will be put to shame. The Greek word that's behind that, so that he will be put to shame, is entrepo. Entrepo means to have one's thoughts turn in on themselves. So what Paul is saying, get this guy to think about what he's doing. That's the purpose of this. It's to get him to think about what he's doing. He's disobeying the command from a legitimate authority, an apostle, and he's not working. So the treatment, the avoiding, is intended to bring the brother back to his rightful position. It's not vengeance. It's not revenge. It's not anger. It's to get this person back where they belong. Verse 15, he goes on to say, to keep a good attitude. Verse 15 says, yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So he gives a negative and a positive. What shouldn't we do with these folks? We shouldn't regard them as enemies. They're brothers, and they're in error, but that doesn't mean they're our enemy. Now, Paul wants to make sure here that his command is not misunderstood. And in fact, there's a very harsh contrast here. Don't regard him as an enemy. But, and the but there is the strong adversative in Greek. It means there's a big contrast. Admonish this guy as a brother. Well, what does that mean? Admonish is a word I don't use too often in conversation. you know, well, I admonished my wife yesterday. I don't say things like that. Admonish is the Greek word nuthateo. Nuthateo is a word, it's a compound word in Greek. That means they put two words together to come up with this word. The word nous means mind in Greek, and the word tithemi means to put or place. So if you put those two together, admonish means to put in their mind. Now we'd have I have a easier translation for that. Teach. Put it in their mind. Teach them. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll see another example of this word, and the word over here is the noun form of the word, and see how it's translated over there to give you an idea of what nuthateo means, to put or place in someone's mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. It says, now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our nuthateo, or the noun form of the word, instruction. So it's an instruction, teaching, to correct false doctrine by teaching. And that's what Paul is getting at back in 2 Thessalonians 3. He says, correct these guys. And how do you correct them? Do you yell at them? Do you shake your finger at them? No, you teach them. That's the idea, to correct false doctrine by teaching. It's a present tense verbal in the Greek. That means don't give up on these folks. Keep teaching. No matter what happens, keep teaching. You see that over and over again in the New Testament. What's the job of the pastor teacher? Keep on teaching. Now that brings us to the conclusion of the book of 2 Thessalonians. And we'll finish up the book next hour by doing a review of the whole book of 2 Thessalonians. But for now, the conclusion. In verse 16, we have a final prayer. It says, now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. In verse 17, the salutation, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand, and this is a distinguishing mark in every letter. This is the way I write. And then the benediction in verse 18, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Now next hour we'll do our overview, and next week we'll start the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy. Father, thank you again for your word, and thank you for the book of 2 Thessalonians. Father, we pray that we can keep in mind what we've learned in this book, and we pray that we can be obedient to your will. In Christ's name, amen.